I want to have a reach into every community across Northern Ireland. And I want to see far more women as elected representatives. And it shouldn't be just the women who are clapping that statement. In the next 6 months, we will revise our party rules to make them fit for purpose, fit for the challenges that lie ahead, and fit to deliver continued success. I am proud of this party's past, and I am immensely grateful for all that Ian achieved as he led us through those dark and difficult days. He carried a heavy burden as he led us into leadership at Stormont, and we all wish him well. I don't believe a word about him retiring. There is no way that Ian Paisley will retire. I'm proud also of what we are doing today, and I'm confident about our future too. We have solid foundations upon which to build. 176 councillors, 38 assembly members, 4 members of the House of Lords, and our 8 MPs at Westminster, magnificently led by Nigel Dodds. And we have Diane as our MEP, valiantly battling for Ulster and Europe. We have a fantastic team at every level right across the province. And I particularly want to thank our ministers and post holders. They have served this party so well. One of the most difficult jobs that I have as leader is to allocate responsibilities across the party. Having such an abundance of talent makes that job just so difficult. Arlene, Sammy, Nelson, Edwin, Jonathan, well done, all of you. As a team, at every level, we have so much to offer. That's why I'm tired of listening to the professional naysayers who seem intent on talking Northern Ireland and democratic politicians down. They criticise politicians but are never prepared to stand for office themselves. They're an authority on everything, but they have a mandate for nothing. There's one of them who comes on our radio every morning. Well, at least those mornings that his alarm clock is working. And while he's eating his crisps and Mars bars, he's either putting the worst possible construction on what politicians are trying to do or encouraging others to do so. Well, it's easy to pick holes in other people's work. It's harder to pick up the gauntlet and do it yourself. It's not the size of your jaws, it's the size of your vote that gives you the right to speak for the people. Stephen, you might have the biggest show in the country, but by the will of the people, we have the biggest vote in the country. In a democracy, power isn't inherited, it's won. Our authority to be in office, our authority to work for the people, is given to us democratically by the people. Mr. Chairman, I want to pay tribute to our brave soldiers who have served and are still serving in Afghanistan. We especially remember those who did not return, those who gave their lives for country and for freedom. Their sacrifice is a reminder to us of the part that this province plays in the life of our nation. It was truly inspiring to see so many people come out and greet our soldiers at the recent homecoming parades. We remember them today, and we will ensure that they are never forgotten. While our soldiers are bringing a better life to people halfway around the globe, we must do the same back here at home. I'm a unionist, not just because of my background or culture, but because I believe the union offers the best future for this province. There's something in the unionist psyche that assumes that our political opponents are always superior at achieving their objectives. Very often, unionists are more prepared to believe their opponent's propaganda rather than looking at the reality. Look back now and ask yourself, what have they actually achieved? Rather than all-island institutions trundling us into United Ireland, we have an administration at Stormont with a unionist majority, enacting British laws, with support for the union at an all-time high, and the union flags, red, white and blue, is still flying from the flagstaff. That didn't come about by longing for a return to the institutions of the past, but by adapting the new realities to create a new and much wider consensus for the union. Nowadays, outside Stormont, the cross-border institutions are largely for the optics. The real work of positive cooperation with the Republic isn't through institutional structures, but through direct contact on the issues that really matter. Ultimately, it's personal relationships and not political institutions that will make North-South cooperation work. And the less the political threat, the greater the opportunity is to work together. The truth is that it is our strategy, the path that we started down a decade ago, that has prevailed. Getting devolution on acceptable terms, seeking to make it work for everyone, ensuring North-South structures are grounded in practical cooperation and not advancing political ideology. Building up the East-West axis and demonstrating that the union works for everyone. Yes, it's our strategy that has prevailed. We need to further reform the institutions to deliver better government, but we must be careful not to undermine the consent and acceptance of our constitutional status in doing it. I don't want just a simple majority in favour of the union. I want an overwhelming majority to support our constitutional position. Mr. Chairman, in time the economic crisis will pass. The lasting challenge for us will be to tackle the causes of division. An end to the Troubles didn't bring an end to division, and the dilemma will not solve itself. Our critics have claimed that we want a society which is carved up rather than shared. Some of them accuse us of wanting a separate but equal society. Let me be clear, nothing could be further from the truth. It isn't right, and it wouldn't work. I don't want a society where people live close together but live separate lives. This party alone can't dictate the future, but we can place issues at the centre of public debate and force others to justify their obstruction. And there can be no greater legacy than a more shared and united community. It isn't just good for Northern Ireland, it's good for unionism too. This is how we can secure our future, not just for the next decade, but for the next century. Any society is governed not just by the will of the majority, but by the consent of the minority. And we in Northern Ireland knew that better than most. The conflict of this last 40 years created terrible divisions. It became a case of them and us. And that attitude deepened divisions even further. If we want a better society, it can't be them and us. It can only be all of us. Recent surveys have shown that over half of the Roman Catholic population who were polled wished to remain part of the United Kingdom. And only a third wanted a united Ireland. I want to create a society where those numbers are improved and where our place in the kingdom isn't reliant on demographics. There could be no greater guarantee of our long-term security in the Union than the support of a significant part of the Catholic community. Now the conflict has ended. We have a window of opportunity to reset the terms of political debate. We have the opportunity to secure our constitutional position beyond the visible horizon. Our task is not to defeat, but to persuade. Over recent decades, unionists have been under attack, and we've been forced to be defensive. Some Republicans tried to bomb us into United Ireland. Others sought politically to cajole and wheedle us into United Ireland. But we've withstood them all. But when have we as unionists actually sought to persuade? And not just by words, but by creating the kind of inviting society which everyone will want to be a part of. Our determination and resolve saw us through the troubles. Our cry of no surrender served us very well in the days when we were being mercilessly attacked and when our backs were against the wall. Happily, times have changed, and now a new approach, I believe, is justified. Politics is changing in Northern Ireland. Of course, there will be those who will be implacably opposed to being part of the United Kingdom. But even today, they are a minority within a minority. Bobby Sands once said that the IRA's revenge would be the laughter of their children. Such narrow vision. There's been too much talk of revenge, too much talk of victory and defeat. The DUP's ambition will be the laughter of all our children, playing and living together with a future that doesn't see them having to leave our shores, but wanting to live here in Northern Ireland, within the United Kingdom. If I read the mood and temper of our people correctly, we all now realise, as we have never realised it before, that we're interdependent. If we are to move forward, we must move forward together. I believe in this new era, we have it within our grasp to secure Northern Ireland for the next century. What's our task? Our job is to articulate the longing of our community. Our job is to chart a course through choppy waters. Our job is to grasp the opportunity to effect change. Our job is to deliver the aspirations of a deserving people. Our job is to make a difference to the lives of individuals and communities. We need to build one united, shared, and peaceful society. I tell you, now is the moment. Miss it, and we may miss it forever. We have the prospect of making a difference that previous generations never had or never took. We have the chance in the future to ensure that the people in this country have a future that is meaningful, a future that is real. I tell you, now is the moment. We want to see respect given to our varied and colourful traditions. We want people to be able to express their culture with tolerance and respect, mindful of those who don't share those values. And we want people who don't share our values to show tolerance and respect to those of us who do. We are the first generation of peacetime unionists for many decades, no longer under siege, moving forward with confidence and able to reach out. Traditional unionism was never about prejudice or sectarianism or wrecking or division. That was never what Edward Carson stood for. His unionism was about shaping and sharing the freedoms, the security, and the bounty of the union to every citizen, regardless of a person's religious belief. That's the kind of society that we want to build, and I tell you, now is the moment. The DUP is the party of Northern Ireland. It's the party of leadership. I know there are many who will tell us that changing the outlook of our society is impossible. They'll tell us it's ingrained in all of us and soaked into the very soil. One thing's sure, it will not expire with this generation if we replant it in the next. There are those who counsel, don't even try, you'll fail. But I'm not prepared to look back at missed opportunities and simply take life as it presents itself. I want this party to make a real and a lasting difference. We'll energetically pursue a one community good relations strategy. To be DUP leader and First Minister is a huge and enormous responsibility, and it is a massive honour. And it's a challenge that I humbly and gratefully accept. But today, I want to challenge all of you, both here and at home. Help us build a new Northern Ireland, not just for some, but for all. Get involved and even in some small way play your part in this great and historic endeavour. Our province may be small, but our ambitions can be great. As a united community, we can prosper and we can flourish. Help us create a society where our young people want to stay, where those who left for far-off opportunities return to be part of what we are creating, where our economy is strong and vibrant, where the world wants to come and visit, where we treat each other as well as we treat our overseas visitors, and where our community is reconciled and at peace. That's the Northern Ireland that I want to see, possessing a dedication to succeed, providing promise, offering hope, fulfilling its greatness, reaching its potential. That's our mission. May God grant us the wisdom, the courage, and the strength to succeed. Thank you.